Today's gospel reading is taken from Romans 12, 1 through 8. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 1763 if you would care to read along. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion of his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. Since it's my first Sunday with you, I thought I would share a little bit about myself and how I ended up as a pastor. I grew up in Selma, Alabama. You probably have heard of it. There's a lot of history there. I grew up there, was born and raised in a small Nazarene church. And if you're not familiar with the Church of the Nazarene, they are a sister denomination of the Methodist Church. They broke off from the Methodist a long time ago, but they both share Wesleyan theology. So I grew up in a small Nazarene church, and the summer before my junior year in high school, I felt that God was calling me into vocational ministry. So I had a particular passion for youth, so I wanted to be a youth pastor. So I planned to attend Tribeca Nazarene University here in Nashville to prepare for the ministry. And I came up here in June before my freshman year for freshman orientation. And you know, at orientation, you're meeting a lot of people, and a question that you get asked a lot is, what are you majoring in? So I was telling people, I'm going to be a religion major. And I remember meeting one girl. And she asked me, what are you majoring in? And I told her religion. And she says, ooh, you're going to be in classes with a bunch of guys. You're going to have to introduce me. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah, there aren't a lot of women studying to be pastors. And I hadn't really thought about that before. So I walked away from that conversation and began to think about it. Began to doubt my call, began to get scared. I thought I had misunderstood God. I thought that God wasn't really calling me into ministry because that was for the boys. And I backed away from my call and tried to deny it and tried to run from it. So by the time I came up here for classes in August, I declared an undecided major. And I spent the whole freshman year trying to find other careers that I could do. So I had a list of things, and I kept going through them, trying to see if anything fit. and nothing seemed to fit. And by the end of my freshman year, I was sitting in a chapel service at Trevecca, and I remember the preacher preaching about surrendering to God and offering ourselves up to God. And I realized that I had been running from my call all year long and trying to deny the gifts that God had given me. So I said, "Here I am, God. I will be who you want me to be. I will do what you want me to do, and I will go where you want me to go." So the following year, my sophomore year, I became a religion major and a youth ministry minor, and graduated from Trevecca with those degrees. Met my husband in Trevecca, and we married after we graduated. A year after we graduated, I was hired on at the church that I interned at in college, and I was hired as the part-time assistant youth pastor. There were two youth pastors since the church was so large, a full-time and a part-time, and I was the part-time, which worked out great because I could go back to school and get my Master's of Divinity from Vanderbilt, which I did. And then the following year after that, I was ordained as an elder in the Nazarene Church. I ended up spending 9 years on staff at that church, and then they went through some financial issues and had to downsize their staff. And so the part-time youth pastor position was one of the positions that was dissolved. So I found myself out of vocational ministry for 2 years, about a little over 2 years. And during that time, I was working at Curry Ingram Academy, where my husband works, in the middle school office. I was an administrative assistant, office manager, receptionist, all those things. But by the second year, I was itching to get back into vocational ministry. So I tried different avenues in the Nazarene network. But the way the Nazarene polity works is they don't appoint their pastors. Each local church is responsible for hiring their pastors. So, and they ordain women in ministry, obviously, since I was ordained. But the local churches, especially in the South, are very slow to hire them, especially for lead pastor positions. So I found it very difficult, and I realized that I needed to look in a different denomination in order to fulfill God's call on my life. So I looked in the Methodist Church, since we share the Wesleyan heritage, and I got hired on at Belmead UMC as the youth pastor, and I spent about 3 years there. And soon after I started there, I felt God leading me to make the Methodist Church my home. I felt that this was the place where I could fulfill my call to ministry. So I began the process of transferring my ordination credentials from the Nazarene Church to the Methodist Church. And that means that I have to go through the whole ordination process in the Methodist Church, which is quite a lengthy thing. But I took the classes that I needed to take, the Methodist theology, history, polity classes, finished those up the spring, and was commissioned in June, and here I am. So I tell you all of that to give you a little bit of history about me, but also to remind us that we have all been individually given gifts that are unique. I have been given the gifts of preaching, teaching, and being a pastoral presence through the ups and downs of life. And it took me some time to become aware of my gifts and to accept them and to grow into them. At first, I tried to deny my gifts that whole freshman year. I denied it. I avoided them. Thought God hadn't given me the gifts for ministry. But then I accepted them. And after I accepted them, I was afraid to use them. I remember in college, people would ask me, "So, are you going to be a lead pastor one day? Are you going to preach?" And I was like, "No, never." I could not imagine myself in a million years preaching and being a lead pastor because I was so afraid of preaching. But I had opportunities to preach at my church, and the more I did, the more people confirmed to me that I had been given the gifts of preaching, and I slowly began to believe them and to believe that God had given me this gift. And here I am today, a lead pastor and a preacher. Who would have thought? You may not have the same gifts as I do, and that is a great thing because we don't all need to be vocational preachers and pastors. Verse 6 in Romans 12 says, "We have gifts that differ according to the grace that has been given us." We have gifts. Every single one of us has been given gifts that are unique. Some of us may be aware of our gifts and are actively using them, but some of us may not yet be aware of our gifts and may need help from others to discover and use our gifts, like I needed help in discovering my gift of preaching. But the important thing is we have all been given gifts. And these gifts are not given to us to merely build up ourselves as individuals. As Romans says, we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. We're not given these gifts so that we can give ourselves a good pat on the back and feel good about ourselves. We are individual bodies with individual gifts, and these gifts are joined together into a communal body. We are members of the body in Christ, and our gifts are to be used in this communal body to enable this body to go out and share God's love with our neighbors. Everyone has a role in this body of Christ. We all have a part to play. Some of us are gifted in compassion, and you can use that gift to help and comfort others when they are suffering. This might mean taking a meal to someone who is sick, or offering a listening ear when someone needs to be heard. Some of us are gifted in hospitality, and we're really good at making people feel welcomed and loved. This might mean calling someone who you haven't seen in a while at church and telling them that you miss them. It could mean hosting people over for dinner at your house and inviting people who don't go to church anywhere and beginning to build a relationship with them. Some of us are gifted in encouraging, and you're really good at giving an uplifting word to someone who feels like the world is just against them. Some of us are gifted in technology, and we could use some people who are gifted in technology to help us as the church to find new ways to share the message of God's love in our community. Some of us are gifted in communications, and you could help us present our church the best way that we can online and in print. Some of us may not be gifted in finances or teaching, but you're really good at showing up and lending a helping hand when we need it. And this might mean helping to make bulletins, or if you're really good at editing and you love editing, maybe proofing the bulletin. All of these gifts are important, and all of them are needed. And many of you are already using your gifts in this communal body. And I'm here to help you continue to use them and grow into them. Some of you may be unsure of your gifts and need a little help on what they are and how to use them. And I'm here to help you discover your gifts and to live into them. We are all in this together. We as individuals are joined together by God's grace into one body. And I'm joining you today as a part of this body. And I'm excited, I'm so excited about partnering with you to do God's work. And I want you to know that as I begin this first year with you, my focus is going to be on three things this first year. And you may hear me say this more than once. But number one, I'm going to listen to you. I want to hear how you see God working in this church and in this community. I want to listen to your hopes and dreams for this church and this community. Number two, I want to learn about you. I want to learn about your stories. I want to learn about your work, your hobbies, your interests, what you're passionate about, what excites you. I want to learn about this church, about its history, about its good times and its times of struggle. And I want to learn about what you love about this church. And you may hear me ask you this individually a lot over the next couple months, but I want to know, what you love about this church, and what keeps you coming back. So I'm going to listen to you, learn about you, and number three, I'm going to love you. I'm here to be your pastor, to walk alongside you in the ups and downs of life, to be a presence for you when you need guidance or if you need a listening ear. I'm here to build relationships with you and do life with you. So that's going to be my focus this first year, is to listen to you, learn about you, and love you. And as I begin this relationship with you and we begin to partner together, my hope is that we will continually offer our communal life up to God as a living sacrifice of praise, as Romans says. Offering our church up to God and saying, God, here we are. We will be who you want us to be. We will do what you want us to do. And we will go where you want us to go. I'm so excited about what God will do in and through us as we partner together here in Kingston Springs and in all the communities where we live. May God be with us. Amen.